Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
I turn to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to continue the message from this morning. Appreciate the message, the songs tonight. Turn the tide. We need to pray for America. Amen. And just continue to pray and pray. Well, it's good to see Brother Clark is able to make it tonight, as old as he is. His birthday's today. You might want to go around and pat him on the back. He made it to 60. Any bull rider that makes it to 60, that's like a huge accomplishment. I mean, just humongous. And he don't make it around very good. Again, the Clarks started the church with us years ago, and I can't complain to him about any aches or pains I have, because he's been there, done that, and rode the bull that caused it. And but I appreciate Brother Clark, 60 years old, and some of those families who are here who started with us, I promise you, I do not at all view the age group. It baffles my mind. I don't see that. Is that normal? I just don't think. Brother Clark's not 60. I'm just going to deny it. Yeah, I was in my teens when we met. It's 21 when I went to Lakeland. 46 today. Reminiscing. Everybody good? Rest of the crowd? We'll talk. All right, let's preach. Philippians chapter 3. And let's look there again at verse 17. We covered verses 11 through 16 this morning. We'll do a little review, and then we'll get right into the message. Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven. I love this verse. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at this passage, may we be encouraged and look forward to your return. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the theme of the book of Philippians is joy. That joy is produced by being selfless. We think about Paul writing this from prison. And while he's writing from prison, many of y'all remember our study of this back in 2015, 14, 15, 16. It took us about 3 years to get through the book of Philippians. But reminding you that though Paul was in prison, he never one time complains. Never one time in the book of Philippians talks about his pain or his stuff or whatever. He's thinking about others. He's thinking about the church at Philippi. He's thinking about the church and other. He's constantly thinking of others. In fact, he says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. Again, as we think about Paul being in prison and yet thinking of others. And that's what brings joy. You want to have joy in your life? Do for others. You want to have joy in life? Don't think about yourself. The world says just the opposite. Humanism teaches that you should put you as number one, and everybody else falls underneath. And I'm telling you, you're way down the list as a Christian. Amen. Jesus said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give my life a ransom, he said. So if you'll do for others, God will bless and give you joy. Give you joy. And your self-esteem will be just fine. If you'll do for others and live for others. You say, well, if I do for others and live for others, who will take care of me? God said he would supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Chapter 1, we have Christ. Paul says, Christ is my life. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So Christ, my life. Chapter 2 is Christ, my mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, Christ, our goal. We spoke on that this morning. And reminding you, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the goal of every Christian ought to be more like Jesus Christ. In chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, he warns against the legalists or the Judaizers, the false teachers. He says, beware of dogs, verse 2, and beware of evil workers. In verse 4 through 8, he warns of having confidence in the flesh. Look at verse 4. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And he goes on to explain why he could have confidence in the flesh. If somebody was going to have confidence in the flesh, he could do it. But he warns against it. Don't have confidence in the flesh. And then verses 9 through 11, Paul desired to know the Christ Jesus more at the expense of everything else. He said this, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Verse 10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul had a desire to know the Lord. Then again from this morning, verses 12 through 16, Paul humbly admits that he has not arrived, but was pressing toward the mark. And that mark is Jesus Christ, to know him, to be like Jesus. Again, he's moving past failures. He says, forget those things which are behind and press forward to those things which are before. And it's focusing on Jesus. Can I tell you, we as Christians ought to have a life focused on the Lord, focused on Jesus. He should be number one. I gave an illustration this morning and really didn't finish it. And I take a little time tonight. But you understand that Jesus Christ is the pattern which our life should be set by. He's the model which we should be conformed to. That's what God is doing. He's conforming us to the image of His Son. And it's Jesus whom we strive after. It's Jesus whom we follow. We are to follow in His steps. Press toward the mark. Let's move on. Now, in this verse, we have a command and a warning and a reminder. Look there with me, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Notice again he uses the word brethren, just like he did in verse 13, addressing the Christians there at Philippi. And he's addressing you, and he's addressing me. He asking us again to be united to one to another by the bond of affection. In other words, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Brethren, when he addresses it, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's kind of church lingo, right? You may notice we say brother and sister around here. We don't use sister as much. I don't know why. When I was a kid, it was sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, and that's how you addressed everybody at church. And that's because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And it was just a reminder when we met together that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are a family. That's why I try a lot in the letters that I write you and from the pulpit to remind you often that we're a family, church family. Amen? That's what he's saying there, brethren. Be followers of me. And that word be is an imperative verb. It's a command. It's an absolute command. Sometimes we kind of just pass over some of these, but this is a command from Paul. Be followers of me. That word followers means an imitator of others. I mean, being a follower of me. This is not the first time that Paul mentioned this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to turn there if you want to do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, he says this, wherefore I beseech you, I beg you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you unto remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. That I'm sending you Timotheus to remind you of my ways, and you're to be following me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. We're to be followers. And it's a command. It's a command. In other words, Paul's saying, take me as a model. He was a pastor. He was a soul winner. He was a sinner. He reminded us that. In fact, he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. And as we said this morning, he was humble. He was humble. What a man to follow. Follow me as I follow Christ. And listen, we're to mark those, he said, to observe those, to fix our eyes on those whom we may follow. Look there, mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. In other words, those who are following me, mark them. Keep your eyes fixed on them. And we should look to others who are following Jesus. we say a lot from the pulpit that men will fail you. Mankind will fail you. Men and women will fail you. But Paul says many times, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. And now he's saying, mark those who do follow Christ and follow them. And though people will fail you, he's just saying, he's reminding us, hey, there ought to be a group of those people around you whom you are following, that you are there as a, you know, encouraging. Those, you know, all I can do is use examples. I get asked a lot, especially when I go to the seminary and teach the students there. They'll say, well, who do you ask questions to? I say, well, I have several men I ask questions to. I'm thankful that I can get on the phone and call Eddie Johnson, who I consider my pastor, who helped us start this church, you know, 19 years ago. And I'm so thankful of his example as he continues to pastor. He went to, retired from Grayson Bible Baptist Church in Sherman after 20 years and just moved that campus onto a brand new campus, built millions of dollars worth of buildings. And it's an amazing thing what he did there. And then he retired and went over to Gainesville, took a church there, was running about 20, if that, and pastored it for a couple of years, maybe 3 or 4 years, and got it back up to 100 and remodeled buildings and built stuff. And what an example, in his mid-70s. And so then he retired again. And now he's co-pastoring. Brother Cox knows this. Now he's co-pastoring in Howe, Texas, with a church there that needed help, that got down running, you know, 10, 12, but has a building and has property paid for. And why not go in there and help those churches that are struggling and get them back on their... Why not? Don't give those buildings away. Amen? And we're supporting, by the way, we are supporting Eddie Johnson $100 a month right now. And have been doing it for about, probably a year or so to help him get that church in Howe, Texas back on its feet. Praise the Lord. There's a man I can call and talk to who's pastored churches and taken churches that have been struggling over the years and just done a wonderful job. His wife is just as wise. And I've talked to her many times. And what a blessing. I have my dad I can talk to. What a blessing to still have that in my life. And Brother Weatherby and Brother Stewart, who was here preaching. If there's a biblical question, I promise you, if I have one that I can't seem to solve or just want more information on, I'll email him. And guess what he does? Sends me a stack of stuff about this tall. And I have lots of stuff to look through. It's awesome to have a friend like that who can help you and help guide you, and you can follow. Again, not perfect. My dad's not perfect, but I can follow him. He's following Christ. I can follow Brother Stewart. Again, Brother Weatherby. Here in the last few years, Brother Dave Hardy, he's preached here a few times. He's pastored a large church, and it's good to go to somebody who's pastored a larger church than ours and ask questions and say, hey, how did this happen, or what is this? And to have somebody like that who calls me every once in a while. Brother J.C. House. You know, just having men around you who you can talk to, and ladies around you who you can follow, who you can follow their example. That's what Paul's saying here. Not that they're perfect. Paul wasn't perfect. He reminded you of that. But you need a group. You need a group to encourage you. There's wisdom in multitude of counselors. I hope that you have that. You ought to have that in this church. Amen. You ought to have a group of friends. People say all the time, and preacher, you know, churches all have a bunch of cliques. I say, yeah, churches are full of cliques. Just find the clique that you have interest with and join the clique. And in every clique ought to be allow those anybody into their clique. Hello? Churches within a church, that type of thing. And have a group of friends that are there to encourage you. Paul had that in his own life. Follow me as I follow Christ. And by the way, not just those who are alive and well today. What's great about us is we can go back and read about men and women who were greatly used of God. And I would encourage you, at least read one biography this year. Take time. And what an encouragement it would be to you to read George Mueller's biography or D.L. Moody's biography or Savannah Wesley's biography. There's so many that you could read and be such an encouragement to you. In the faith. And then secondly, he warns the church at Philippi there, the brethren, the brothers and sisters. He says, For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. whose end is destruction and whose God is their belly and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Again, we see a warning from Paul that there are bad examples out there as well. There are false brethren who, 2 Corinthians, he says, disguise themselves. Disguise themselves. Oh, we need to be careful. We need to be careful whom we befriend and watch them carefully. And there are many of those who are enemies in disguise, infiltrators, you know, spies. And we need to be careful. We need to be careful. I think especially this applies in the ministry. It's amazing to me over the years how many men and women whom I befriended who were not what they said they were. And you have experienced the same thing. May we pray and seek God's face as it comes to our, especially our close friends, and be careful whom we follow. It says he wept over them. Their destruction. By the way, their destruction is hell. Their end is destruction. A Christless eternity in hell. In fact, 1 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy to withdraw from them. Withdraw from them. This is something Christians don't practice as often as we ought to. And that's when we do find someone who is not what they say they are. Someone who is a wolf in sheep's clothing. The Bible says we ought to withdraw from them. In fact, there's the verse there that says that if they do not believe in the Trinity, if they don't believe that God, that Jesus Christ was in the flesh, that you shouldn't even go to their home. Be careful whom you allow and to influence you when it comes to Christ. I'll give an example. When those individuals knock on your door who come from the Watchtower, from the Jehovah Witnesses, the Bible says you shouldn't let them in your home. You say, well, that's just mean, preacher. That's mean. No, they don't believe in the same Jesus we believe in. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. They don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is whom we say the Bible says he is. They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe he was the God-man. Be careful. Be careful. There's some good people caught up in that cult, right? And we shouldn't be mean to them. We should be loving, kind, and gracious. But be careful not allow them to influence you and not allow them in your home. Here Paul says they are ruled. In fact, John Phillips said it this way. They are ruled by the sensual, by the shameful, and by the secular. Notice again what it says. It says, they nevertheless, whereunto I have also attained. Now, look back with me right there, verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is what? Their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. They are ruled by the sensual. They are ruled by the shameful, and they're ruled by the secular. Ruled. May we be careful whom we allowed and whom we follow. Number three, and then he gives a reminder in verses 20. This is some of my favorite verses, and I will sing a Johnny Flanagan song here in just a moment. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So here Paul gives us a command, then he gives us a reminder, a warning, and then he gives us a reminder that our citizenship's in heaven. That word conversation there, normally that word conversation means living. It means a manner of life or manner of living. But here, the Greek word is, it means citizenship. Our citizenship's in heaven. Do you realize that tonight? If you're saved, you're born again, your citizenship's in heaven. He's first. Set your affection on things above, Colossians 3 says. Our citizenship's already there. Johnny Flanagan's song, our citizenship's in heaven. I'm living in Christ, you see. For I'm already over on the other side, waiting for my body to be. I'm just waiting for my body. I'm already there. Just waiting for my body to. Amen? My citizenship's in heaven because I am in Christ. We should be a reflector, a reflection of our heavenly citizenship. Again, another song. I'm just a pilgrim passing through this land. On my way to that fair city. Amen? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't be at home in this world anymore. We are just pilgrims passing through. We're just in tents here. This is but for a brief moment in time. We get caught up here. We get all hung up here. I do. Hung up here in the here and now on this earth. But listen, eternity is in front of us. Our citizenship's in heaven. We ought to be careful, again, following the example of Christ, being careful about bad examples, because we are citizens of heaven. And as citizens of heaven, we are ambassadors here. We are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that does have to do with our conversation, our manner of living. That we ought to be careful how we live and what we do, that others may follow us as we follow Christ. And again, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious eternity. Are you looking for the blessed hope tonight? Really? Are you looking forward to it? I mean, are you looking for it? I'm looking forward to it, but I'm also looking for it. I'm looking for it. I hope it happens tonight. Paul said in that chapter 1, he said, I'm a straight between two, having the desire to part, which is better for me. But he said, for me to stay is far better for you. And I that same conundrum sometimes. I want to be in heaven. I want to be on the other side. But far better to stay here and win as many people to the Lord as we can. Amen? And to make a difference, snatching people out of the fire. Amen. And to see souls saved. We are ambassadors, being careful, again, that we are an example to those around us. Looking for, it says, as we think about Philippians again, who shall change this vile body? We are looking for the Savior's return. Looking for His return. That means to eagerly wait for. Jesus said in John 14, John 14. Let not the heart be troubled. I've had that memorized since I was like 2. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's gone to prepare us a mansion. He's gone to prepare us a place. And He's coming again. He's coming again. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Again, in Acts, when He ascended to heaven, the angel says He'll come in like manner. Acts chapter 1, verse 11, He'll come in like manner. He's coming to call us up to meet Him in the air. Again, the Bible says we will be called up. That's what we use the term rapture. We'll be raptured up to meet Him in the air. The trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up to be with Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Listen, one day I'll see my great-grandfather again. I'll see my great-grandmother again. She's about that tall. She was taller than Tanya. Oh, she was shorter than Tanya. I can remember sitting on the back porch with my great-grandma there on the farm. And she wouldn't... Lots of things, stories I could tell about great-grandma. Number one, she was a good cook. Number two, she was a disciplinarian with her great-grandkids. If you did something really bad, you got a switch, right? And you had to go pick it yourself. And she didn't switch you on the bottom. She switched you on the calf. You actually had to raise your pants leg up, and then she'd switch you on the calf. That's abuse. Consider it was just a ragweed, or sometimes it was a peach tree limb, but most of the time it was just a ragweed, you know. Didn't hurt. The bad thing she used to do is make us sit in a chair. All right, if you can't, you know, blah, blah, sit in that chair for an hour. Oh, I would rather have the switching. Grandma, can I just have the switch? But I could see my grandma again. What a great lady, my great-grandfather. My pawpaw, my grandma. Again, most of my fondest memories are about my grandparents and great-grandparents on my dad's side. I'm so looking forward to seeing them again. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing Jesus, of course. And see Him face to face. What a day that'll be. Amen. He says that we'll receive new bodies. New bodies. That this vile body will be set aside. Death is not the end. Death is not the end. We'll be changed. 1 Corinthians 15 says, we'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. We'll receive incorruptible bodies. Bodies that don't hurt. Bodies that don't creak. I got up the other day. Somebody was sitting beside me right within earshot distance. And when I got up, I'd been sitting for about an hour. When I got up, every bone cracked in my body. And I'm 46. And the lady looked at me like, Every bone popped. It was good. Once I got up, it felt great. Right? No more popping everywhere. No more hurting. No more cancer. You know what a terrible disease. Especially over the last several years, we've lost some great people from cancer and so many other things. No more sickness. No more death. No more parting over there. And forever we will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that'll be. Amen. What a day that'll be. Again, our vile bodies set aside, and we'll exchange them for a glorified body. 1 John 3:2 says, our bodies will be like his body. Man, remember when he passed through there in the upper room? Appeared before the disciples. The doors were locked, but he could go through the wall. That's going to be cool. He was also able to eat that glorified body. Someday, the Bible says, we will be like him. We will see him face to face. Again, what a great day that'll be. Can I remind you that Jesus Christ, a man, sits at the right hand of the throne of God? And there he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And one day again, he will come for us. His dad will say, go get your bride. And the trumpet will sound. That's his voice. That's his voice. His voice. And we'll be caught up to be with him in the air. And for 7 years, we'll be there and have the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And in 7 years, at the end of the 7 years, he will return with us. Not for us this time, but with us. The Bible says we'll be riding on white horses. Amen. And we'll return and he'll defeat the enemies of God. And that great war will take place. By the way, it's not really a great war. It's like it takes 2 seconds. Maybe it takes longer than that. But he's just going to defeat there at the Battle of Armageddon, defeat the enemies with his word of his mouth. And he'll set up the millennial kingdom. And again, ruling and reigning with him for all eternity. You say, preacher, you believe that stuff? I believe it absolutely. Not even a single doubt. I'm looking forward to it. Paul gives us a command to be followers of him. May we follow him as he follows Christ. May we follow others who can encourage us and strengthen us, other brethren who can be good examples to us, but be careful of those who may be bad examples. Be careful. I said this the other day I may have said it from the pulpit here, but again, it's, you know, how do you expect to hang around a bunch of skunks and come out smelling like a rose? Be careful who you fellowship with. Be careful who you befriend. Parents, again, just here at the end of the message, he who pays the bills makes the rules. You say, well, I can't determine my kid's friends. You determine what, you know, that he lives in your house, that he has a room, that he gets to eat. Yes. You know what that means? You can determine their friends as well. Amen? Amen, teenagers? May we be careful. May we be careful who we allow. There are bad examples out there. Jesus is coming again. And because he's coming again, that ought to impact our walk. It ought to impact how we live. Our everyday living ought to be living in light of eternity. I remember Brother Stone preaching on that years ago when he was here on staff. And I pray that almost every day. Lord, help me to live in light of eternity. Lord, help me to live in the spirit, not the flesh today. And then help me live in light of eternity. Help my actions today to be in light of your return. That you could return today. That you could return right now. And that I could stand before you worthy. That's a good word for it, but stand before you. I'm going to live like I'm going to stand before him right now. Live in light of eternity. Press on. Press toward the mark. Continue to strive to be like Jesus Christ through the help of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't lose faith. Don't be discouraged. Live for him. Trust him. He'll guide you. Take comfort in knowing he's coming again. Amen? Let's all stand.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.